The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, go. Mitchell with the Glass Lady Project, and I am here with trad and true listeners, and that was awesome. Being a former violin student that I'll just say under my breath gave it up at the age of 18, I'm always impressed, especially with the violin, because I wish I had kept with it. But thank you so much for joining me today. I'm just going to go around the room and have you guys introduce yourself and maybe explain what instruments you play, because it looks like there's far more than just one each here. So Bob, we'll start with you. Bob Johnson.
Oh, who, me?
Of course, yes.
Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a harmonica player.
And you're holding a rather large harmonica right now.
Well, it is. It's kind of the biggest, hunkiest one. This is a chromatic bass harmonica. It's a Hohner bass chromatica.
Play a little. And, yeah. Play a little bullfrog on there for us.
And it's it's a different kind of animal. We don't see too many of them on this side of the pond. Made in Germany. It plays the bass part.
There you go. And Pamela Longtime.
Here I have a violin, which we also consider as a fiddle. And right now we just played in a cross tune tuning, which is A-E-A-E. And so a lot of fiddlers play in different cross tunings. And we welcome past violinists to come join at any age and learn how to play fiddle. So that's our mission, to suck you in.
You guys get together and play for fun, but you also play different events?
Well, recently we played at the Fergus Falls Library, and so we played a family square dance there, and that was with Cedar Walters, and she called dances for families, and it was just a wonderful, fun event.
Very fun, very fun. And Deb Walwerk?
I've got a fiddle that my grandmother bought for my mother in 1935, and
wow.
In 7th and 8th grade, I had to play an instrument, and this was the one we had, so I played this in 7th and 8th grade, and then I quit. And then I took it up at about age 40.
Oh, so my excuse of giving it up at the age of 18 doesn't really work with
right.
you then.
Not at all. There's hope. There's hope for all of us.
Yes, there's hope for me.
I never liked the whole practicing part. I never saw the value of that as a youngster.
Needs to be fun. It's
important. That's right. That's right.
Needs to be
right.
fun. Yes.
And then Gail Johnson.
I mostly play guitar, but I also play mountain dulcimer, which we may or may not pull out later. We'll see.
Very fun. And how long have you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing guitar since ninth grade.
Okay. Okay. Did all of you play at some point in your youth? I mean, I know Deb and Gail. Pamela?
Yeah, I played viola.
We were probably in the same orchestra, I'm guessing, for a few years. So, we're both former spuds, and we're just a year or two apart. So.
Right. Yeah, and I kind of stopped for a while, and then later in my 20s, I was like, I need something that's just fun. And so I went for fiddle lessons one day at the Homestead Picking Parlor of all places in Richfield, Minnesota, and that's where I started to get excited about it.
So. Great, great. And Bob, how about you? When did you start playing?
Oh, this here bass harmonica that I was talking about, how many years ago? Gail, you got it for me for Christmas. That was probably close to 20 years ago, but I don't think I've been playing it for more than 10 years now.
Something like that, yeah.
But this kind, the smaller 10-hole diatonic, I got my first one when I was 16. It cost $3.95, and that was a good one.
Yeah.
But that's 46 years ago, so I've been playing at it pretty steadily ever since. Become a serious harmonica player a long time ago.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. Have you known each other for a long time, or how did you connect? How did you all form a group?
Yeah. Well, old-time music is really big in the Twin Cities, and you can go to a jam every other day of the week. And that's how Pam and I met. We met at the old-time jams. I was playing mandolin at the time, and I asked her to be my fiddle teacher, and so I got to know her really well and her daughter, Adeline. So that's how it worked for me.
You picked it back up by having Pamela teach you.
Yeah, she did. You know, in fiddling, the bowing is very rhythmic. Mm-hmm. And it actually matters whether your bow is going down or whether it's going up to get the sound that you want. Yep. A down bow is strong. Pam does this amazing thing that not many people do, and very few people know that she has this particular talent, but she can actually sing a fiddle tune and say the bowing at the same time. And so that was great for me because that's how I got this rhythmic bowing that we do. That's how I got it down, and I'm sure that's how Pam got it down too, is just learning every single note, the corresponding bow stroke. I mean, it sounds really sort of difficult, but rhythm is just something that you pick up so easily from things, but it really sort of helps to have, you know, someone saying to the part of your brain that isn't necessarily musical, that's an upstroke, that's a downstroke.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, I often think about creating or putting fiddle tunes together, like sewing a quilt or knitting something. There's little patterns, and now you move on to the next pattern, and you tie it into the next pattern, and with fiddle tunes, there's usually like 16 bars in a lot of them. There's crooked tunes, but you just tie up those little pieces, and...
And you have it down.
And you have it
down. I know just from following you a little bit, Pamela, on Facebook, do you guys have other members that float in and out of your group, or is this pretty much the core group?
This is the core group right here. Yeah, Deb and I both were in the cities for a really long time. I lived there 20 years, and you lived there a long time, too. And,
yeah, 10 years. Probably.
Yeah, so we have lots of other friends we've collected along the way that we play with.
Which tends to happen, yeah. I think, with all artists, but especially musicians. You float in and out of other
groups.
And
especially old-time music. I mean, the heart of old-time music these days is jamming. So if you go to Mbatma, the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time festivals, people just jam like crazy. And the thing is that the tunes that we play, they're historical, you know what I mean? So it's not like you sit down with the group and you don't know the next person's tune. You can learn a lot of those tunes, and they're going to be the same 50 years from now as they are now, pretty much. And so you can sit down with somebody you don't even know and sit there and go, well, do you play this? Do you play this? And sooner or later, you hit on something you both play, and then you're off.
Off you go, sure.
So that's what makes it so fun. You know, we are constantly outside of the band, you know, Triad and True, Pam and I and Bob and Gail, you know, in their musical spheres, we're always kind of picking up and playing with other players.
Yeah. Great. Are you all from the area, from the region, or where do you live? Where's home base?
Originally or right now?
Right now.
Oh, well, Bob and I live south of Fergus Falls.
Okay.
I'm living in Fergus Falls.
Yep, I'm living in Lake Park.
Lake Park.
Or somewhere. Somewhere in the country, south of Lake Park.
Lake.
Yeah. Great. Well, should we hear another tune?
Sure. Let's see. Should we do Sad Little Kate? Does that sound good, or do you want to do a different key?
No, that'll work.
Okay. So that's an A, Sad Little Kate.
Okay.
That tune came from Earl Collins, who was a Oklahoma fiddler.
Oh, yeah. Mighty fine fiddler.
Okay, great. Is there a certain era of music that is attractive?
It's a perfect question, because that tune we got from Gail Heil, who is just a dear friend of ours. She plays with Bob Bovey. She passed away a couple years ago, but we learned that tune from her. So, Sad Little Kate.
And she picked that up from... I think it's in Illinois. You know, what happened was, is about in the 70s, when people realized that all this music was disappearing, was dying, the old fiddlers who had done the square dances were all on their way out. People picked up microphones just like that and went and sat in their homes and learned tunes from them. It started in Appalachia, where a lot of the old fiddlers were still playing music because they didn't get radio in Appalachia. The radio signal didn't bounce around well in the mountains, and so they kept playing this stuff. And then people said, well, I think we still have some old fiddlers in Illinois. Even here in Minnesota, we still have a couple old fiddlers. So people sat down with recorders and recorded tunes, and that one in particular, I think, comes from Illinois. Am I right?
Do you find in the era that so much is online, we're so plugged in, and is that helpful in finding tunes? Or
when I started fiddling, I had this little tape recorder, just barely afford batteries for it, and it would like tape things just kind of really out of tune, or the tape would break, or I get this great section, but where is it? I'd have to, you know.
Good old mixtape.
So the internet is just amazing and wonderful, and you can just learn so much from this.
So you're finding that a lot of these are somewhere out there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you could type in Sad Little Kate, and a ton of people would be on there on YouTube playing it at this point. So,
great. Yeah. I know you talked a little bit about your most recent event. What sort of events are you doing? I'm just sitting here thinking, gosh, a square dancing event would be so much fun. Are there those types of events out there that people are hosting?
We haven't set anything up around here, but it would be really fun.
They go on in other places up in Grand Forks. They've got a regular monthly square dance that the North Country Fiddle and Dance Society, they put on, Tom and Jean O'Neill. Find musicians themselves and dancers and dance teachers and dance callers.
They'll have square dancing at Mabotna.
Okay.
In the basement of the Radisson, if you want to square dance.
Oh, that'll be the, first weekend of March, I think?
Yeah, there's a big...
big event there. Yeah. We take over a large hotel for the weekend.
They'll have square dancing at Maple Log in March as well, because there's something called Moose Jaw, which is a old-time dance gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sounds like something we need to work on for our area. We'll have to maybe talk about that and work something out. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you want to play another song before we wrap it up or anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, we want to play about 35 more songs.
Yeah. Well, we'll just leave it recording.
We're just barely
getting
warmed up.
We would like to change keys if that's okay.
Sure.
So.
We're going to be treated with another tune here from Trad and True.
West Fork Gals.
Lovely. I always like the upbeat music. It kind of makes you want to start dancing. And
makes you happy.
Joining in, absolutely. If you could say one thing to somebody, maybe such as myself, somebody who maybe had a little experience or no experience in a musical instrument and they're in their 30s or 40s or 50s or 80s, what would you say to them to encourage them?
Oh, have fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, don't be shy.
Go for it.
It's a lot of fun to listen to, but it is so much more fun to actually do. And there are a number of jams in the area that are very beginner-friendly and welcome anybody, regardless of their skill level, to just sit in. And that's the really best way, I think, to learn is the total immersion method.
Absolutely.
Of getting in there, maybe holding back a little bit so you're not too loud if you don't know what you're doing, but seeing what other people do and learning from each other, that's the best way.
How would I find those groups that are beginner-friendly?
There's a monthly jam, we call it the Mall Jam. It's the first Sunday of every month in Fergus Falls.
Okay.
And we play there from 1 till 5. It's all acoustic. There's a bluegrass jam that's held every month up in Fargo.
Okay.
And if anybody wants more information, I think Bob would probably be the best resource for that.
Yeah.
As far as local jams.
You can call me 218-736-6198. Bob Johnson.
Great.
And I'll just throw in that I think the buddy system is the best way. You were talking about practicing. It's so great to have somebody that plays a different instrument than you or the same instrument with you, and you just play together, because then you're motivated to learn that tune because you want to play it with your friends.
A little bit more accountability. Kind of like working out a little bit. There's more accountability.
Absolutely.
And I think you learn from each other, too. You're like, you guys talked a little bit about that. If you're struggling with a certain area, then hopefully the person you're practicing with can help you through that.
The other thing I find that is really fun about it is we know people all over the state that plays this type of music, and I can look at somebody like Don Jakes, and I'm, oh, you know that tune. Would you start that? And as soon as he starts that tune, I know that tune, and I can play it. So it's pretty exciting.
That's kind of what happened with Saddle Old Kate there. I was like, oh, my God. Because this is all in our heads, you know. We're just recalling these tunes.
Different people hold different mental files for us. It's handy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for making the trek and coming. I'm really looking forward. I think there's a potential for some partnerships with the museum in the future and how we can maybe help out the area with this era of our style, maybe is a better word of music.
Fabulous. So. Well, thanks so much for having us.
Do you want to close with another song, or am I putting you on the spot?
Let's do a waltz.
Sure. Should we do
a waltz.
Do you
want to
do Blue Ribbon?
You think?
Sure. Okay. We'll do the Blue Ribbon Waltz. Hold on. For all you 4-H'ers out there. Can I have that little intro? That's right. All right.
Indeed.
A little intro.
Brought me right back to waltzing on my grandpa's feet as a little girl. Thank you so much again, Trad and True. And if I were wanting to get in touch with you to have you perform at an event, who would I call or where would I go?
Yeah. Oh, they're pointing at me.
So this is Pamela, long time.
Yeah. I made a Facebook page of the Detroit Lakes Fiddlers so people can join that.
So Detroit Lakes Fiddlers on Facebook?
Yeah.
Or you could contact me here at the museum and I could get you in touch with Pamela. Contact Becky at the Becker County Museum at 218-847-2938 and I will put you in touch with the group. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy Art Culture Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.nijiradio.org.